In Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that your word gives life and gives instruction. And God, we open up our hearts this morning for encouragement. We open up our hearts this morning even for correction. And God, I pray, God, that your word would go forth, God, and you would give us ears to hear what you would tell us each individually this morning. And God, we thank you for your amazing Holy Spirit that empowers us to speak your word and to receive your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to talk this morning, a single message series. We did that last time I was here, and then we're going to do our 2020 vision next week. But I want to talk about something that I've been studying over the last few weeks. And I want to talk about, and the title of my message is Principles of the Upside Down Kingdom. Principles of the Upside Down Kingdom. It sounds so, you know, educational. Principles of the Upside Down Kingdom. We talk about being upside down. Really, I looked it up. I always look up stuff. So the metaphoric phrase transfers literally inverting something so that the upper part becomes the lower part or vice versa. Or throwing into disorder or confusion. Many of us would argue, probably accurately, that the upside down kingdom is really the right side up kingdom, is the way things ought to be. But from our culture's perspective and the world's perspective and from Jesus' perspective when he introduced the kingdom, it was an upside down kingdom. Jesus came and he turned the world system upside down, which still needs to be turned upside down today in our lives. So I want to teach a little bit, and I want to give maybe some new thought about some things this morning, maybe that you've never really considered this morning. I want to talk about the word gospel for a minute. The word gospel, it comes from the Greek word that it says euangelion. Everybody say euangelion.
Euangelion.
It actually comes from, that word is actually taken from the Hebrew word, which is besar. And then, so besar has to do with the pronouncement, right? Has to do with a pronouncement, and the besara had to do with the announcement of a new king. So when, or a continuation of the kingdom. So when when David would hear from his battle, over, you know, they were having battle and they would hear that he had won and that David's still king, a basara would go out and they would pronounce that, David, you're still king. Or when David actually died, a basara went out because now King Solomon has become king. The announcement that there is a new king. So this announcement, this word in the Hebrew, basara, and then the word euangelion has the same kind of meaning. That word has to do with a basara or a euangelion, that there is good news because there's a new king. So when Jesus came, the gospel, basically the word gospel has to do with not just that Jesus died for our sins, right? That's part of it. But the gospel has to do with so much more than just Jesus dying for our sins. It's actually through the Jesus dying for our sins that we're able to enter into the kingdom, that's for sure. But there's more to what the kingdom of God is all about than just Jesus dying for our sins. I got you interested now, don't I? So, because that's what we've heard, right? That it's just Jesus died for our sins, that's the gospel. Well, that's true. That's true-ish. That's absolutely true, actually, that Jesus did die for our sins. He did bring redemption to our lives. Absolutely. But there's much more than just that. There's an introduction of a new kingdom, the gospel, the proclamation, the good news that there is a new king and a new kingdom. And that good news is, yes, your sins can be forgiven. Yes, there's redemption. Yes, there's a rebirth or a new birth. The old things are gone, the new things are here. But there's so much more than just, actually that word gospel really during the last, 100 years has really kind of come to mean that the gospel just includes Jesus dying for our sins. But if you study it out, it means so much more. It means so much more than that. There's a reason why the new birth came. It's actually to introduce the new kingdom. This is going to be good. The gospel is the announcement of a new king. So let's back up. There is a new king, and a new kingdom is here, and the king's name is Jesus. Jesus is the king of the new kingdom. So if you go back, I want to give you some scriptures. Luke chapter 1 and verse 31. We're going to be talking about this scripture very soon as Christmas quickly approaches. We're going to talk about the kingdom. And I want us to see that Jesus, that the declaration of Jesus coming was the declaration of the new kingdom. Luke chapter 1, 31 through 33. This is the angel talking to Mary. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him a throne to his father David. Hear that? A throne from his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. The angel came preaching and talking about Jesus bringing in the new kingdom. And then John comes and talks about the same thing. John the Baptist, as we call him, comes and talks about the same thing in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1 through 3. He says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Meaning the kingdom of heaven hasn't come near, but it's a new thing that's coming. A new kingdom that's coming. And this is, and it was spoken to the prophets, right? And then Jesus came preaching the new kingdom. In Matthew chapter 3, 1 through 3, it says this. Mark chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The good news of the new king and a new kingdom. And in Luke chapter 4 and verse 42, it says this. At daybreak, Jesus went out into a solitary place. The people were looking for him. And when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because this is why I was sent. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues. What was he preaching? The kingdom. The kingdom. And then listen to this. After Jesus is already risen from the dead, and this is what they say about what he did during the time from his being risen until the time he ascended into heaven, right? He says this in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. It reads, after the suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proof that he was alive, mainly just by being there, probably. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about what? The kingdom of God. See, the kingdom is not a side issue. The kingdom of God is not just, it's kind of this mystery kind of thing that's always just kind of there. What's the kingdom of God? Like, it's the thing. Like, Jesus came preaching the kingdom. The Besora, or the Evangelion, is the good news, is there's a new king. The angel says, and this is the guy who's going to bring in the new kingdom. His name is Jesus, the new king. And that now all authority in heaven, hear that, has been given to Jesus, the new king. He is the king. So this is my point I want to get to today. If we have a king, if there's a new king on the scene, then I need to know what his kingdom's all about. I need to know if I call myself a follower of Jesus, if I call myself a follower of the king, then I need to know what this kingdom, how this kingdom operates, how this kingdom works. And so, the kingdom has a lot to do with a lot of things. The kingdom has to do with, yes, Jesus came. Jesus tells them, when they came, John's disciples came to him and says, hey, are you the guy or should we look for another? He says, you tell them that the dead's raised, the healing's sick, and the kingdom of God's being preached. That's how you know that the new kingdom king has come, disciple of John, right? So there's all kind of stuff. So the healing that Jesus did is part of the kingdom. The power that Jesus had over demonic forces is part of the kingdom. But you know what also is a part of the kingdom that we don't really like to talk about? Is there's a new way to see life. There is a new way for us as believers, as followers of the new king, as followers of Jesus. We are called to live as he lived. We're called to be like him. And as I've been studying, there's one portion of scripture that just leaps out of the page of Jesus' teaching. Remember, when Jesus is teaching, he's teaching on the kingdom, the new kingdom. And one of the best examples, I heard this, he was a pastor in this area for like 30 years. And while I was telling him, I was talking to him about this thing, you know, you always want to make sure, this is kind of fresh, right? Like, so, and I asked him, he says, David, you're right on. He said, and it's not really talked about much. He says, but really, he said, if you look at the Bible and you look at the teachings of Jesus, the greatest place where you find what the kingdom of God is all about is what he called the Christian Manifesto. You know what the Christian Manifesto is? It's the Sermon on the Mount. The Christian Manifesto is the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus' introduction to the kingdom. To the kingdom. This is what the kingdom is going to be all about. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, he said, for this reason I was sent to preach the kingdom. And so he introduces the principles of the kingdom in the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to some of these things that he says. He says things like this: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm not going to go through all of these because we'll be here forever. But just that idea of the poor in spirit, where you're not enough, that you need God. The poor in spirit is, my life, I'm not enough on my own. We sang it this morning. I'm not enough unless you come. That poor in spirit where you realize, you humble yourself before God and you receive everything that God has for you because you realize that you are poor in spirit and you need God in your life. He says, those people, for theirs is the kingdom. When you start to understand that you're not enough and you need to bow your own knee to God, Jesus says, you've entered your first steps into the kingdom. So pride, so what's the upside down principle? The upside down principle is the world says, I'm going to get all I want. I'm going to do it all myself. I can do everything. There's nothing I can't do. Right? And Jesus says, no. You don't get it. The more you humble yourself, the more you kneel, the more you surrender, it's really when you get the kingdom. And you get to understand who God is. And it's not through pride. As a matter of fact, the Bible in other places says God resists the proud. Why? Because it's not part of the kingdom. It's not the way the kingdom works. Like I said, I'm not going to go through all these. And he says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Meek means weak in our culture, right? No, Jesus says, No, you're wrong. Jesus says, you're wrong. The meek are strong. Blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and search after righteousness. Not blessed are those who just seek after the things of the world and the culture and all that stuff. Jesus says, if you press to see then you hunger and thirst for righteousness, then you'll be satisfied. Because if you search and reach for all the things of the world, you'll never be satisfied. See, it's an upside-down kingdom. And Jesus came saying, this is the way God works. This is the kingdom. It's an upside-down kingdom. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they'll see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for sake of righteousness. I thought everything was going to go well if I just was a Christian. See how that works. standing up for the things of God. And then he says this crazy thing, like love your enemies. So starts talking about loving your enemies and doing good to those who hurt you. Jesus didn't drive, 75 south. Because I got a lot of enemies. See, he flips this whole thing upside down. He says, what good is it if you love those people who love you back? Big deal. Even Jesus says this, not me. Jesus says, even the sinners do that. It's a big deal. Jesus says, you want to enter into the kingdom of God? Love people the way I love people. It's the upside down kingdom. And then he gets into our lives, right? He says, oh yeah, murder, yeah, that's wrong, that's wrong. But then Jesus says, if you're angry against somebody, you've committed murder in your heart. Well, that's not fair, God. I thought about it, and I thought about how I could kill them. Jesus says, hey, you say it's bad to commit adultery. Jesus says, I say, the kingdom says this. If you have lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. So Jesus says, look, he's saying this overall thing of, listen, it has to do with your heart, where you're at. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. He says, well, all those things that come into you, right? It doesn't defile you. It's the things that come out of you that defiles you. And all those things in your heart, motives. That's why Jesus then turns and says, listen, I don't care how much you give. If you give for the wrong motive, it's nothing. If you give so other people can see, look how much I gave. Then he says, if you fast, and you let her, no, I'm not going to have any of that cake because I'm fasting. I want everybody to know how spiritual I am because I'm fasting. Did I hear that? Did everybody hear that? I'm fasting. And this is what I'm fasting. I'm really fasting because I'm not having chocolate cake. And I haven't had coffee in a week, so I'm really fasting. And we try to make this some great thing, like, look at me. Jesus says, hey, look, Jesus is like, I see your motive. See, the kingdom is messy. The kingdom, oh yeah, it's the good stuff. It's the power over demons. It's the power that Jesus gave us. All authority has been given to Jesus. And man, we can walk in that authority. Amen, I believe it. But there's this other sneaky part of the kingdom that we don't really talk about that has to do with messing with our lives. And it's just as much of the kingdom, I would argue maybe more, than all the cool stuff. Because Jesus said, if you have faith to move a mountain, Paul said, if you have faith to move a mountain and you don't have any love, it means nothing, nothing. Then he repeats Jesus and says, if you give all your stuff to the poor and don't have love in your heart, it means nothing. You should have kept your money. Well, you shouldn't because the poor needed it. But as far as your account, it meant nothing. And then he talks about praying. Don't get up and pray these great prayers to impress other people. Jesus says, I see you. And on it goes. The Christian manifesto. It's the Christian manifesto. The Sermon on the Mount. And then not to mention all the other amazing things that Jesus said. He said the greatest will be your servants. He tells other followers, hey, listen, don't seek to be called a rabbi or a teacher. Right? He says, when you go into a place, pick the lowest seat and let somebody else exalt you. See, it's the upside down kingdom. It goes completely against what our culture and our own self-will and self-desire wants to do. And it's like I said a couple of weeks ago, when you boil it all down, it's about others. It's not about me. Jesus was all about others. Then Jesus almost kicks Peter out of the club. Because he doesn't understand what it means to be a servant. Because Jesus says this, because Peter was like, oh no, Jesus, you're not going to wash my feet. And listen to this statement that Jesus says. We brush past it. Jesus says, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, you have nothing with me. He says, this is everything. The kingdom, serving. The greatest among you will be your servants. That we're called to serve each other. It's not to step on somebody else to get your place. You find it in churches. You find it where people just step all over each other to try to get to, well, I'm going to be the head minister of the blah, 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 and I look at my name tag and all this. And can I just speak honestly, since we're all smaller crowd and we're all kind of family, it stinks in the eye, in the nostrils of God. When we do those things, we try to get above anybody else. I believe the higher you go in ministry, you'd be the higher you are in serving other people. There was none greater than Jesus. Jesus set the standard. He set the bar. He set it really high. It's not one of those rah-rah messages. But we need to hear it. This needs to be a part of who we are. It needs to be the part. And sometimes we push people away in our culture because they kind of know this better than we do at times. If you're a follower of Jesus, now what I know about Jesus may not all be correct, but I do know that Jesus loves other people. And he forgave people. And he welcomed people. I'm just going to say more things. So this dropped in my heart. Actually, Julie and I were talking about these things. And it dawned on me. So I just finished reading through the Bible. And as I read through the book of the letters that Paul and Peter and James, all those guys wrote, I noticed something about those letters. That those guys didn't critique the world. They critiqued the church. Why are we critiquing the world? Why aren't we people that critique the world? Do you understand? You and I are not responsible to be the moral police of the planet. Are there things that are crazy going on? 100%. Whack-a-doo stuff. But it's amazing. The scripture talks about when the husband is married to an unbelieving wife. No, a wife is married to an unbelieving husband. It's amazing what the scripture says about how she's going to win over her husband. It's not by preaching and yelling and telling how terrible he is. Mm-hmm. It's about her chaste, honoring God life will draw him in. I'm saying a lot of things this morning. I may not have anybody here next week. But it's true. Like, if we would concentrate as a church and as a person on God, let the kingdom come in me as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom, let your kindness, let your love, let your service come in me as it is in heaven. So I won't have this arrogance about me. If anybody had the ability to be arrogant, it would be Jesus. But Jesus, over and over again. Hey, don't tell anybody I just healed you. Matter of fact, finally one day, when Jesus enters into Jerusalem, finally, they say, he goes, okay, let them worship me today. And you know, they were like, right when we go into Jerusalem, excellent, perfect. And then next thing you know, Jesus is washing the feet of the disciples, getting right back to what the kingdom looks like. This kingdom is messy. And it's upside down. But can I say this? It's just what our world needs. It's just what our culture needs. It's just what our political system needs, for the love of all that's good. And Jesus says, this is my kingdom. And what he wants us to do, what he wants you and I to do, is to go out and display the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And when, like Jesus says, when they see your good works, they'll glorify your God. I don't know about that whole Jesus thing. But that Julie is a peculiar character. Because she doesn't let things get to her like they other people do. She like walks in love with other people. She doesn't judge others. I don't know what it is, but there's something about that Julie. There's something about that Mike Buckaloo. Like that he's just strong in his faith in the middle of a crazy culture, especially their last job. Just in a crazy place. No, I'm just going to be who God's called me to be. I'm not going to police my coworkers. I'm not going to tell them how terrible they are. I'm going to live my life. And it's amazing, as I've lived that out in secular world, secular jobs, it's amazing how much people come up to you and go, So tell me about your faith a little bit more. Where do you go to, and this is the way they say it today in our culture. So where do you go to church? Well, you know what that is? That's what we call an open door. So that now that you can throw your little seeds, then you can throw your little seeds of wisdom and God's love and the goodness of God. Right? There's so much to this. But I wanted to introduce this idea of the kingdom is so much more. Does it include... Actually, do you know the new birth helps you? It gives you power. You can't walk in this without the new birth. You can't live in this without the new birth. When the Spirit of God came, what did the Spirit of God come to do? Push the kingdom forward on the planet. Does it have to do with power and anointing? Absolutely. But if you read the Scriptures, it talks about that love, like the fruit. Don't forget, I mean, there's the gifts of the Spirit. There's also the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. What are those? Those are kingdom principles. How are you going to walk? How are you going to walk in those things? By the power of the Spirit of God who lives in you. It's not by my own works, God, but it's God by your power that works in me. God, I can't be nice to this moron that I'm working with. But God, through your grace and through your help, God, you can help me love this person the way you love them. Because I can't do it on my own. Right? There's so much more. We charismatics, we're really good because we want to be filled with the Spirit. Absolutely. I want to be filled with every part of the Spirit with all the power, with all the anointing, but with all the fruit, with all the love, the joy, the peace, the kindness, the gentleness. To go out into a world that's desperately in need of people who love each other. And the new kingdom is because we have a new king. And his name is Jesus. Don't you want to follow the king? And Julie brought it up yesterday because we talk about stuff like this. She goes, you know what? When you talk about following Jesus, you know, sometimes I think maybe people just think like, well, there goes Jesus. I'm just following him, right? Okay, there he goes. I'm following him now. I don't know about how you walk your dog, but our dogs kind of walk us, you know. I'm just following my dog, right? I'm just following Jesus. No, when you follow Jesus, when we talk about following Jesus, we're talking about that he becomes like our king. And he becomes the teacher. And I become the student. And he becomes the goal that I want to be like. If we've whittled this whole thing down to your sins are forgiven, which is true, then we've missed a whole big slice of the pie of what the new birth is really all about. Jesus said, let your kingdom come on the earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come through me as it is in heaven. Let me be, I say it like this, God, I want to be an accurate representative of you in this earth. I want to love people the way you love people. I don't want to be that person who flies off the handle. God, and if I do, God, change me and teach me, because you, I am following you. I submit myself to your teaching. I listen to the teacher. And as we move forward, and so. Here's the question that I want to ask you who showed up this morning. Am I a follower of Jesus? Am I a follower of Jesus? Am I in it just for the goods? Am I in it just for the blessings? Am I in it just for what God can do for me? Or am I, does this come? Don't let me mistake it. There are principles in the kingdom of sowing and reaping. There's principle. There's other principles. This, what I'm telling you this morning is not just the... I'm talking about our own lives and how we interact with other people. There are principles of sowing and reaping. If you give, it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Jesus said that. That God gives seed to the sower. But those are really... I'm not in it for that. I'm in it because Jesus is King. I believe with everything in me that Jesus walked the earth. He was born of a virgin, like we sang earlier. He came from heaven to a crib, to a cradle in the dirt. I believe that Jesus walked and taught on the kingdom to such as things that we're talking about this morning. Demonstrated his power and authority over the devil. I believe that he was crucified, unjustly crucified, to cover and change us from the inside, to cover our sins, to actually not just cover, but change us from the inside by his sacrificial death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. And I believe that because I believe he rose from the third day, he sits on the right hand of God as King and ruler. As he presented the kingdom. And then he spoke to his disciples and said, now you go and carry this gospel of the kingdom to the ends of the earth. Every bit of it. That Jesus died for your sins. That he rose from the dead. That we can be new creations. That we can become children of God. But we can also walk in this upside down, peculiar people that the Bible calls us. Not because we're just weird. Not because some of us pray in tongues that were peculiar. No, because we live the upside down kingdom, and the world will go, you guys are nuts, but there's something about you guys. And let me just say, it works a whole lot better than pointing our little bony fingers at people and judging people. They haven't been born again. They don't have the Spirit of God. What do we expect people to act like? Somebody said about our church, they said, like, you know, we talked about, you know, we have people in our church that have struggled and are on the other side and are, you know, struggle with addiction and drug addiction and that kind of stuff. And they go, you know what? Like, I kind of expect that in our church. I go, yes, we get it. We get it. We're not all there yet. We're not all perfect. None of us. I'm not going to ask you who, like, yelled at your kids this week and you were ungodly to your kids this week. I'm not going to ask you who all cussed at your coworker this week or whatever you did this week, because we'd go, man, is God even in our house? Because we'd be all like, oh, my gosh. We're all a work in progress, and it's wonderful. It's the way it should be because we're all growing. What are we growing into? The kingdom. I want to be just like Jesus. Y'all don't want to be just like me. Y'all want to be just like Jesus. You don't want to be just like Julie. Well, maybe you do. No, you don't want to be just like Julie. You want to be just like Jesus. Don't you? Don't you want to live for the King? Don't you allow His goodness to flow inside of us so that we accurately represent Him? Isn't that so? It's so sweet. I'm going to ask our worship team to come on. Let's all stand together. The kingdom. And this is what I want you to do. A double dog dare you. And don't mess with me because I'll throw the triple dog dare here in a minute. Yes, yes. And you will have your tongue on the lamp pole in the freezing cold. The Christmas references already are coming. That was cold. Ah, that was funny. A double dog dare you. Yeah, it's Christmas. So you got to watch that movie. And then you got to watch Elf. And then Scrooged. It's a Wonderful Life. The Grinch. Which Grinch? The old cartoon, please. The Grinch. This is my double dog dare. As I challenge you to go this week, as I trip, go this week and go read Matthew, starting in chapter 5, and go read the Sermon on the Mount. And say, this is not just a side issue. There's a big hunk of scripture on the Sermon on the Mount. And I double dog dare you to read it like you've never read it before. Not that you're reading it because, you know, that's what Tyrone needs to hear. Wish Tyrone would read that because he really needs that in his life. Seriously. But what if you read it and go, Jesus, this is your desire for me. And what if, starting for next week, what if we had a church that lived by it or strove to live by it? And it wasn't just about us. It was about others. We didn't come to church just so we can get our praise on. But we came to church because we needed our brothers and sisters. And our brothers and sisters could be people that we leaned on. And what if new people came in and they saw a bunch of people who really loved each other and cared about each other? And they went, wow, I'm not where they are, but I know they accept me right where I'm at. What if we lived Sermon on the Mount? Double dog dare you. I may ask you to raise your hand next week. Amen. Let's bow our heads for one more moment. God, in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask, if you're in this place this morning, and you just say, man, it just kind of messed with me today. And maybe you're in this place and you say this. First of all, you may say, I've never really made Jesus my Lord, right? My King. I've never really accepted His sacrifice for my own sins. And you would say, wow, I go against God's commands all the time. I am just not a believer. I'm not a Christian, but I want to do that this morning. You say, I want to make that profession of faith this morning. You say, I want to profess in this Jesus that you're talking about this morning. I want to profess my faith in not a religion, not an idea, but I want to commit my life to be a follower of Jesus by first being born again and asking Jesus to come and forgive me of my sins, and I receive His sacrificial. And maybe that's you, or maybe you're just in this place and you go, you know what, I'm just far away from God. I haven't really lived out what I know that I really believe. And you say, I want to make it right this morning. I want to make it right. I want to live out this kingdom. I want to live out what God's called me to do. I'm not going to ask you to come forward this morning. There'll be other mornings I can do that, but not this morning. If that's you on either one of those things, just, you're not really even raising it to me. You're just, as an act of your faith and an act of your determination, I just want you to just lift your hand right where it is. Say, that's me. I just, that's me. That's where I'm at. All across this room, looking all across this room. I just want to pray with you this morning. You can put your hands down. Awesome. Let's all pray this together. Say, Father, I thank you for sending Jesus, for my salvation, for my forgiveness of sin. I thank you, God, that through Jesus, I have eternal life. And God, help me live out the kingdom and your principles. Help me to be an example of you everywhere I go in the upside down kingdom. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And just right there where you're at, just your own words to him. Your own words to him. God, maybe just God, help me to walk this out. What? Whatever it is, just you and him. Sing that chorus, praise. Come on, let's sing this out to him. Yes. God, we worship you this morning. God, I speak your blessing over every person in this room. God, I thank you, God, for